It's beginning to look a lot like a recession. Everywhere you go, take a look in the shopping mall. There's nobody there at all, 'cause people are not spending any dough. It's beginning to look a lot like a recession. In almost every store, it's a typical thing to see. In a bad economy, retail sales so poor.
A new study shows that unhappy people watch more TV. That's why CBS has created More Depressing Monday at 8. It's How I Met Your Mother before she became a junkie, followed by an all-new post-funeral 1.5 Men. Then it's a special 2-hour CSI Paducah. It's all on More Depressing Monday, only on CBS.
A 30-year study by the University of Maryland finds that people who are unhappy watch more television.
In sports, the National Hockey League featured a
I'm so unhappy.
But there's hope. That same study reports that happier people listen to radio. And the happiest people of all listen to...
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Cartoons, Breakfast, and Brooke Shields. Yes, Backtime has chosen an eclectic canvas on which to highlight the events that shaped November 19th.
Okay, Smokesies, Moose, and Squirrel. Today in 1959, Rocky and Bullwinkle made their TV debut. Breakfast became easier and filled with a few more calories on this date in 1965. That's when Kellogg's Pop-Tarts first went on sale. And the fact that nothing came between her and her jeans was apparently too much information for CBS. Today in 1980, they banned that sexy Calvin Klein commercial featuring Brooke Shields. That's back time for November 19th. This is your announcer speaking.
Britney Spears' new fragrance soldiers on without her. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The makers of the perfume Fantasy by Britney Spears have made the difficult decision to continue manufacturing the scent despite a lack of involvement from the pop star for some time. Fantasy CEO Margaret Stoom says the exotic blend of sensual ingredients is just too good to let fall by the wayside.
When we are in a difficult spot, we just ask ourselves, what would Britney do?
Industry insiders predict that by this time next year, most consumers will remember Spears primarily as an intoxicating fragrance. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Cartoons.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer.
Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer.
It's a filthy job, and no one wants to do it except you. And you're not afraid to get your hands dirty. You, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, drive a big brown truck, but you're not delivering anything. You're taking it away.
The farther the better.
Because when the septic system starts to back up,
it won't go down.
You back up your truck. You whip out that big old hose, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, and suck, suck, suck that malodorous gravy. But you're not done yet. It's time to grab that long-handled shovel scraper thingy and make sure nothing gets left behind.
Scrape that pool.
Thank you, Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, for changing that giant 1,200-gallon diaper that's buried 6 inches below the lawn in the backyard.
It's a crappy job.
So crack a cold Bud Light and pinch a toast to Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer, a real American hero.
Mr. Septic Tank Sucker Outer.
Anheuser-Flush, St. Louis, Missouri.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, November 19th, Susie.
Yes, it is.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah, you're all made up. What is it with the mascara and shit? Or eyeliner, sorry.
Eyeliner. I put blue eyeliner on today.
Is it blue? It looks black here.
It's dark
here.
Blue.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And why is that? What's the decision today?
Something different.
Yeah?
Why not?
I don't know. I'm not used to you looking like that.
Sorry. You're used to me sitting over here like half asleep.
I know. I can't decide if I like it or not. So.
Oh, well thank
see.
You.
I'm used to your natural beauty.
Oh, I thank you.
Oh.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So listen, we're going to have an awesome guest today, and I have a feeling they'll be here.
Hopefully.
Okay. This is a mini Britney Spears impersonator, and this is probably the last and the first and last time doing this show that we will mention the word midget.
Why?
Because I don't think they like that word.
Small person.
Small person, little people. Is it little people too?
I wouldn't like to be called a little person.
No, so a small person?
I wouldn't like to be called a small person either.
I know,
I
but
know.
If you were, you wouldn't have a choice, would you?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
I dated a really, really, really tall person once upon a time.
Really? How tall?
I think he was like 6'8".
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe even a little bit taller than that.
That's tall, Susie.
I know. It was really tall.
Wow.
He made me feel so tiny, but all of my friends called him the tall or tall glass of water.
Yeah, so who knows what's worse, you know. But I mean, she's not just short. You know, it's the kind that their body is out of proportion and everything.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I looked at some of her publicity pictures, and she kind of looks like Britney, but, you know, I don't think so.
Well, I wonder if she's going to sing or dance or what she's going to do.
I don't know. But apparently she's they're doing a pilot for her reality show, so they might actually come in here and videotape this.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we're going to be on TV.
So. Actually, I had a whole bunch of friends that were listening to the show yesterday, and they're like, oh, my God, put webcams in the studio. We want to see this.
Yeah. No webcams.
Why not?
No, I decided no webcams here. Because it's radio. You know, they call it the theater of the mind. Okay?
All right.
And, yeah, I don't want video. I don't think it's cool for a radio station. You know, sometimes maybe, you know, maybe sometimes.
Well, that's like what people were saying. Like, this is one of those sometimes where they actually really want to see her.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Just
they
want to
see her.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have pictures up and shit.
Okay. You
know? But yeah, I don't know if she'll perform, but we can ask her to.
Oh, goodness.
So that should be very interesting, you know.
I was just reading something online that said reality shows are at an all-time low.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But talk radio is up. A lot.
I know. Especially I can't fucking believe the numbers that you're telling me for this show.
I know. This show is like a fucking exploding. And I don't stop getting a fan email and shit, you know?
I know.
It's really cool. So many people are listening and people you don't expect. You know,
didn't you have like a little old lady come up to you the other day and she was just like, I love your show.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Being all conservative.
I know. And to hear this from all those ladies and stuff, you know? And we had, if you remember... it was, I think, a couple weeks ago. We interviewed a woman that wrote a book on capitalizing on kindness.
Yes.
Her name was Kristen Tilquist.
Uh-huh.
She actually sent me a card.
Aww.
By mail, and thanking us for having her on the show and that she loves the show.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You know, no, she seemed like so straight and conservative and everything, you know. So.
Yeah.
But maybe we don't know her, you know.
I know. Who knows what kind of secrets people have.
Right.
Secret lives that people live.
Yeah, but I've concluded people want to know more than anything. They want to know what happens in other people's personal lives, you know.
That's, absolutely.
I think that's why reality shows do so well, because people don't care about stories, you know. They want to see, like, what's a guy next door living like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know. People are always just like, oh my gosh, like we love hearing like all the things that are going on in your life, and you know, they just kind of like living either vicariously or you know what I mean? Like their life is like miserable and boring, or they're stuck in a relationship and they're like, well, if Susie's going out having a threesome, why can't I?
Yeah, well, they don't have to have such boring lives. I mean, you know, anybody next to you is a boring life. You know?
Why, thank you.
Yeah, so even normal people, I think, would find your life fascinating.
Yeah, I'm beginning to get that a lot from my little online dating experiences.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
You're starting to date online again?
I am.
And now I feel like shit because I keep forgetting to enroll you in J-Date.
I know, yeah, and it's your fault. I went on an awful date last night.
What?
I went on an awful date last night with the
really?
Guy I met online.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd you meet him?
I met him online.
Okay.
It's
okay, did you approach him?
No, he approached me. He was like, you are absolutely adorable, and I just would love to get together with you for a couple drinks.
Really? So you put up a profile and everything?
Uh-huh.
Really?
I've got a couple of different profiles up there.
Oh.
But I accidentally locked myself out of my eHarmony account for a long time, and I just actually got re-logged into that yesterday.
Yeah, so you're pursuing that as well.
Yeah, so I was a little bit, not really late this morning, but like I only got here 5 minutes before time, or before schedule, because while I was cooking my French toast, I decided, I was like, let me log on to my eHarmony and see what kind of matches I've had over the past couple of months.
Yeah.
And I've got like 500, maybe not 500, I haven't checked that many, but I've got a ton of matches.
I'm sure.
But all these young men are going after me. Why am I always getting the young men?
Even younger than you?
Yeah.
Wow, what is that?
Like 21, 22, and 23. It's like, why are these guys in eHarmony?
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like that's a little young to be on a dating service.
Well, not these days, you know. I mean, what the fuck, you know? Everybody can get on them.
I know, but like eHarmony seems like it's like something for more serious people. For older people that really want to get married or have had like failed relationships. I mean, except for me, I feel like people by the age of 21, 22, and 23, I don't feel like they've had much experience.
Yeah, no, they didn't. But you were looking for someone innocent, weren't you? Like a virgin?
No. Oh, God. Virgins are the worst.
Really?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They're nightmares in bed.
You know that when I was 21, I dated a 25-year-old. And to me, it was like, wow, you know, an older woman and shit.
Cougar.
Yeah. But,
I
think guys like that. They
did
like
I tell you the
women.
One time I slept with a virgin?
Yes, you told me about that.
And he whipped
You sort of did him a favor.
I totally did him a favor because he'd been wanting to like hook up with me for so long. And I was like, no, come on, you're a virgin. And then one day, like, we were completely drunk and we couldn't actually drive anymore. And so we're like, we need to stop and get a hotel.
Uh-huh.
We were responsible in those days. And he seriously, like, we get into the hotel room. My girlfriend was hooking up with his friend. So they were in their room and I was in the other room with the other guy.
Right.
And he was so cute and eager. And he just whips out this box of a Costco supply of condoms. And like he opens it and like 50 condoms like unravel and like fall to the floor. And he's like, I'm ready. Please pick me. I was like, Jesus Christ. Fine.
Wow.
Just stick it in.
Helping humanity, huh?
I know. I took one for the team that night.
You
really,
sure did.
Really did.
You really did.
People really don't appreciate like how giving I really am.
Yeah. Did he come?
Oh, I think like 20 times.
Really?
So I think we ended up using like 20 of the condoms. Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah, those are the good old days. And when there were still virgins around.
Was he like, did he ejaculate right away the first time?
I think he was like a one-pump chump.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if he hadn't done it before, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And he was just like so in love with me, too. I think that like he as soon as he was like in the room with me, I think just like looking at him down there would like make him come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. But last night, so last night I went out with an older gentleman. He was 44.
44. And you met him. Was this on eHarmony now?
No, this wasn't on eHarmony.
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
Okay. So you met a 44-year-old.
I met a 44-year-old. He took me out to the Bel Air Hotel bar.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
Yeah, I really
sounds like he's got money.
Well, you know what? I thought so at first, but then I think he was just trying to pretend that he had money.
Yeah.
You know, as he's like looking over, like I mean, it's fine to look over everything on the bill, but he was like really scrutinizing everything on the bill.
Yeah.
It was like I don't know.
Well, keep that thought, Susie. I hate to interrupt you, but I think
call?
It's our guest.
Oh,
yeah.
Call. Pick it up.
Good morning, Sam and Susie in the morning, and you're on the air.
I have Liz Vaccarello, author of The Flat Belly Diet, on the line for you.
Yes, please.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
It's not her. She's passing it through.
Never
mind. Liz, you're on with LA Talk Radio.
Yes.
Hello.
Liz, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific. How are you guys?
Good. Sounds like you're busy this morning, huh? They had to tell you who we are and everything.
Yeah. Doing a lot of TV and radio these days.
Liz...
I
have to tell you something. I ordered this book. I walked into the radio station this morning, and as soon as I saw this book like sitting in front of me, I was like, oh my goodness. I ordered this book probably like 6 to 8 months ago on Amazon.com, and I just got it 2 weeks ago.
Really? Why did it take that?
You're one of the pre-orders. It just landed in bookstores 2 weeks ago. That's so funny.
That's why.
For months, I was wondering where my flat belly diet book was. I was like, I'm getting flabbier and flabbier over here. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then it just appeared out of nowhere.
So tell.
There's some pent-up demand for it.
Yeah. I know. You did a good job with that.
Well, tell listeners what book we're talking about, Susie.
Liz's book is called The Flat Belly Diet, and it's a breakthrough plan from the editors of Prevention, and it says a flat belly is about food and attitude, period. Not a single crunch required.
Oh, well, I like that one, you know. If I don't have to work hard, I'm listening. So how did you come up with this kind of a diet, and why do you call it flat belly diet?
Well, we knew that this is the body part that most Americans want to change, and also belly fat is the most dangerous fat you can have on your body. Even small excess amounts of it can raise your risk of heart disease and certain kinds of cancers, diabetes, even dementia. So as editors of Prevention, we knew that this is something that we needed to solve for. So I said to my nutrition director, I don't want to just come up with a diet and call it the flat belly diet. I really want to find a way to target this part of the body specifically. And I'd always heard you can't spot reduce. And I said, is there research? Is there science? And she came back with some groundbreaking new studies out of Europe and Australia that shows eating this certain kind of way, eating a diet rich in MUFAs, targets belly fat specifically.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you can actually target the belly, that's what you're saying, through a diet.
Yes, you can.
Amazing.
And these MUFAs are so healthy. The whole secret is eating a Mediterranean-based diet that's rich in MUFAs. Now, MUFA stands for monounsaturated fatty acid. These are the healthy oils found in many plant foods.
Like avocado?
Yeah, there are five categories of MUFAs, exactly. Avocado is one. The other are oils, so olive oil, flaxseed oil, walnut oil. So you're cooking your chicken breast, for example, in 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and that's your MUFA at that meal.
What about coconut oil?
What's that?
What about coconut oil?
Not coconut oil. Coconut and palm oils are not rich in MUFAs.
Okay.
So it's most of the oils except for the tropical oils.
Okay, gotcha.
The next category is olives. So green olives, black olives, olive tapenade. Mm. So often we'll have sandwiches and you'll use tapenade as a condiment instead of mayonnaise, for example. And that's your MUFA. The next category is nuts and seeds. So you're sprinkling sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds into a soup or a salad. You're eating walnuts and almonds and peanuts and, by extension, peanut butter. So there's peanut butter on the flat belly diet.
Okay.
Nice.
And the final category of MUFA is dark chocolate.
Ooh, well, I like it.
I know. This is so exciting. I said, are you for real? And she said, absolutely. She said, dark chocolate is filled with a number of healthy nutrients, but you can't have, you know, 7 chocolate bars a day and call yourself on the flat belly diet. Again, it's a specific portion.
Yeah, you can try, though.
It's bigger than you would think.
Now, let me ask you this, Liz. Why is it that dark chocolate is kind of healthy for you and milk chocolate is not?
Well, most of the dark chocolate, a lot of chocolate contains saturated fat, but dark chocolate... The fat in dark chocolate interacts with your body once you start digesting it and actually turns into MUFA inside your body.
I see.
So you needn't be concerned about too much saturated fat. And you're not eating terribly too much of it, but you are. One of the favorite breakfasts on the diet, for example, is a cherry chocolate waffle. It's a frozen waffle, and you defrost some Bing cherries on it, and then you melt 1/4 cup of dark chocolate chips. The Toll House chips you buy at the grocery store, you melt that over the waffle, and that's breakfast. So that's a lot of food.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a lot of food.
Yeah, it's fun food, too.
And I love the Bing cherries. Those are so great.
Oh, well, the whole diet, one of the best compliments that we get about this diet is not just that people are losing belly fat specifically, but that they're feeling terrific. They're saying their energy is up. They're sleeping better. All of their health markers are down, like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, because it's such a healthy diet. And MUFAs not only target belly fat, but they're also very healthy. They prevent disease. They do all sorts of wonderful things in your body.
Right. Now, is the belly one of the first places where fat materializes?
It is for a number of reasons, and particularly after a certain age. Women in particular, men, of course, store fat in the belly most often.
Oh, yeah.
And then women, once they sort of turn 40, their hormones begin to change, and they start to store fat in that area as well, more like men. But also stress contributes to belly fat. You know, when we're stressed, we have this hormone that, called cortisol, that goes through our systems, and that makes us crave sweets and crave more food, but it also makes us store any excess calories that we consume as belly fat.
Right.
So there's a lot going on, and it's very, very dangerous and stubborn. A lot of the people that we talked to said, every diet I go on, I lose weight in the two places I don't want to, my face, and a lot of women say in my breasts.
That's the first place I lose it.
And the belly fat doesn't move, and on the flat belly diet, it does.
So you're saying, actually with this diet, just by eating right, you're actually going to shed those those pounds of fat,
pounds.
of fat.
Yeah, you're going to lose weight all over. Any diet makes you lose weight. In the flat belly diet, you'll lose weight all over, but you lose it specifically in the belly. And we put test panels on the diet, and our male tester lost more weight than anybody else. He lost 13 pounds and 11 inches. And we measured the bellies before and after, and the circumference went down. And even people who didn't have a lot of belly fat to lose, they maybe had 10 extra pounds on them, but it was all in the belly, lost it right there, and they were just thrilled.
Right.
Now, Liz, I've got another question for you. Now, I've been reading this book, and I actually eat fairly healthy for the most part, and I actually do a lot of cooking and stuff at home, and I eat a lot of the things that are already mentioned in the book. But I feel like my extra stubborn pounds in my belly are specifically from alcohol. I love wine. So what do you have about alcohol in your flat belly diet?
Well, there are two stages to the diet. The first stage is a 4-day anti-bloat jump start where you're targeting water weight. You're drinking a lot of Sassy water, which is a special water with a special ingredients that are designed to soothe the digestive tract, to eliminate bloat and puff. And people lose up to 7 pounds in these 4 days. It's very motivating. And during the 4 days, we ask that you not drink any alcohol or carbonated beverages or salty foods, fried foods. So no alcohol in the first 4 days if you do the jump start. But on the flat belly diet, you can have a glass of wine with dinner if you make it part of your 400-calorie meal. So we're asking you to eat four 400-calorie meals a day.
Right.
And if a 90-calorie glass of wine is how you want to spend part of that 400 calories, then that's up to you. You know, there are no forbidden foods on the flat belly diet. We don't believe that you should tell people they can't eat things, because then they're just going to count the minutes until they can get off your diet, and then they gain it all back.
So do you consider this more of like a lifestyle change that you are encouraging people to continue? You know, because I know, like with the Atkins diet, I mean, if you do that, you know, eventually it's not really so good for your body, and you can't continue that forever. But so do you think this is a lifestyle change?
That's so well put, because so many of our dieters have been on this. Many of them are nurses, actually, because it's so healthy. That's enough calories to get the nutrients that you need to prevent disease, to keep your energy up, and you're not going to succumb to cravings, and you're not going to be unhealthy in any way. So we've had testers who've been on the diet since the beginning, since we first tested it 2 summers ago,
mm-hmm.
and just decided to eat this way forever. One woman has gone from a size 16 to a size 4.
Whoa.
And she loves the food.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, I always believe that, you know, in order to get rid of your belly fat, you got to do a lot of crunches. And
that just builds up some solid muscle under your fat.
Oh, yeah?
You know exactly what this is all about. You're absolutely right.
Wow.
That's why I put on the cover of the book, not a single crunch required, because I've been crunching away. Americans have been crunching away at gyms for 20 years now and not getting anywhere.
It doesn't
work.
You've got
to target the fat over the body, over those muscles.
Right.
Now, if you exercise and if you want to sculpt the muscles that are now starting to show, there are exercises in the book that show you how to do that, but no crunches. I give you other moves.
Nice.
What other kinds of options do you give in the book for our listeners?
There's a whole walking plan in there for people who love to walk. There are some metabolism boosting strength moves that target muscle mass all over your body, so you burn more calories throughout the day. And then the moves that target your core include things like planks and pikes and some standing ab moves, so you're not, you know, jerking your neck up for 100 times and getting nowhere.
Yes, that's always my least favorite part about sit-ups and crunches.
Yeah, they're not easy. Yeah, it involves pain. That's why she doesn't like it.
No, I like the pain aspect of it, but yeah. I just don't like my neck hurting.
That's what Susie lives the flat belly diet way already.
Yeah,
except for the too much wine in my diet. That's my problem.
I know. Actually, her belly is not a problem, really, right? You have a pretty flat belly.
I do, but I have to watch it.
But then again, she's young, you see. She hasn't gotten to the point yet where those pounds are not going anywhere.
Now, Liz, I have another question for you. My dad's girlfriend's mother, she was upwards of 250 pounds, and she just had the lap band installed. In her body. Now she is on like a very, very, very small diet. You know, she could barely eat anything. Do you think this diet would be appropriate on a smaller scale for different kinds of people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really it's such a healthy diet that there's no danger whatsoever in eating the flat belly diet way. I would say for somebody under her circumstances to talk very specifically with her doctor or a registered dietitian about the amount of calories she's allowed to consume.
Mm-hmm.
On flatbellydiet.com, which is a website subservice, this is part of the something else you can subscribe to if you'd like.
Right.
We can customize your menus and shopping lists for different dietary needs if you're on a low salt diet or if you're very, very active and you want more calories. The flatbellydiet.com can customize meal plans and shopping lists for you.
That's wonderful.
There are plenty of options in the book. If all you want to buy is the book, you can customize it.
Right.
And
it's a great book. It's an attractive book. It's written, I think, I like the design of it. I'm a graphic designer, so I appreciate this.
The bright yellow cover?
The bright yellow cover, but inside also, it's organized very nicely, very well, you know. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So it feels like a solid book, and I'm definitely going to try this because, like you said.
Oh, yeah, right,
you know,
Sam. You never change your dietary habits.
Well, I'm going to have to, you know. I mean, I'm getting older here, and my belly's getting bigger as we go along, you know. so I need to worry about that. Well, Liz, this is fascinating. Susie, any more?
I have one more quick question.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, Liz.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Not at all.
No, I really, really, really love avocado. And when I was a little girl, I grew up modeling in New York. And my mother, was very, very, very careful with everything I put in my mouth. And the one thing she never allowed me to eat as a kid was avocado. She's like, you know, there's like 50 grams of fat in an avocado. And she would always point it out at the grocery store as like a bad, bad thing.
Yeah.
Avocado is one of the most misunderstood foods in America. It is such a healthy, healthy fruit.
I know, and it feels filled, like it. You know, I mean, it just
went... It's filled with, wonderful nutrients. And yes, it is calorie dense. And you can't have 3 avocados and call it a snack and expect to lose weight.
Right.
But the portion of avocado in the flat belly diet for a meal is a quarter cup.
Mm-hmm. So is that like half of an avocado?
Yes, half or a quarter of an avocado, depending on how big your avocado is.
Okay.
So you're eating specific amounts of it. Any food they eat too much of is going to make you get fat.
Moderation.
but avocado is so helpful.
All right, wonderful.
Yeah. That's cool, because I'm glad to hear that, because like you, Susie, I love avocado.
It's
my favorite.
I know, me too.
It really is, you know. So that's good news, although now it means I can't have 2 of them at the same time.
On the flat belly diet, you put a couple slices of avocado in a sandwich.
Right,
you make a small portion of guacamole, et cetera.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Liz, is it pronounce it for me. I'm sorry.
Vaccarello.
Vaccarello. Okay, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. And wonderful. So thank you so much for this interview. It's amazing. And again, you know, I'm not that into food. You know, I'm not healthy at all as far as what I eat and stuff. But I really realize that at this point, you know, I'm 48 years old. I better start watching what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
yeah, you'll feel terrific. Your energy will be up, and there's no downside to eating healthfully.
Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay, so everybody go get the book Flat Belly Diet, and I'm sure we can find this anywhere, right?
It's in all the bookstores, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon, all of it.
It's wonderful. About time. I've been waiting for this forever.
I know. So now that explains why you haven't received it till now, because it was on pre-order, Susie.
Oh, I guess I didn't really read the fine print on that one.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Well, good luck, Sam and Susie.
Sure. We wish you all the best with this, and thanks again, Liz Vaccarello. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So I knew you would love this interview, so that's why I got this book, because you know me, I'm not into food or health at all.
But isn't that funny that I ordered this like months and months and months ago, and I walk in, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got that book right here.
I know, shit. And you could have canceled the order and just taken this book.
I know. Well, I bought it with someone else's credit card, so I didn't really care.
Okay, so going back to men with credit cards.
Oh, yes.
So we need to get back to that.
So my date from last
evening. So you went to Bel Air Hotel?
The Bel Air Hotel Bar, yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's pretty fucking pricey shit.
I know. Right? I actually stayed there when I first moved or came out to California before I decided to live here.
Uh-huh.
And I absolutely love that hotel. I mean, it's first of all, it's right down the street from my house, so it's easy to get to.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're kind of in a residential neighborhood, so you're off the beaten path. Like, you don't have a lot of, like, nosy people around you. Like, everyone's there for their own purpose.
Right.
And it's not really one of those places where you go necessarily to be seen, but, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. But so I get there, and first of all, I hate when men lie about their height. If you're 6'1", you know, say you're 6'1". Don't say you're 6'3". So this guy says he's like 5'11 and a half.
Right.
Like, why? All right, at this age, a 44-year-old man, do you have to put the half? It's like maybe he would say, like, I'm 44 years old and a half. You know, it's like, seriously, dude, get over it.
I know.
But I show up, and I was wearing, like, my cowboy boots. I was actually wearing the similar outfit from the bottom down that I'm wearing right now with a sexier shirt. And I stand up to meet the guy, and he's, like, 6 inches shorter than I am.
What?
He was, like, 5'6". What the fuck? I'm telling you, it's so, like, such bullshit. I mean, you know.
So he said he was 6'1".
No, this guy said he was like 5'11 and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Where the fuck is my brain today?
I don't know.
Okay, 5'11 and a half.
So basically he was saying he was 6', which is like,
right,
you know,
exactly.
kind of perfect. But so all of a sudden I walk in there and he's like up eye level with my tits.
Wow. And what does he expect? I mean, you know, when you lie to someone and then they see you. I don't believe that people still lie about these things that you can verify later. You know,
I mean,
what's the point?
Know.
You know, so you're going to attract a woman that's taller than you. You're going to look like shit, ridiculous. And, you know.
Yep. And then, like, the lies, you know, I kind of feel like this is a very similar situation to the author we had on the other day, you know, with the High Gorgeous book.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, on his profile, it was like, oh, real estate developer. But then he tells me, he's like, yeah, for years I was working at stock brokerage, blah, 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 New York City and this and that. And, like, all the things he was saying just didn't really add up. And I was like, so what does that have to do with real estate developer? He's like, oh, I own a warehouse. Oh, okay. So you own a warehouse. Well, what are you developing in this warehouse? Or what is being developed about it? And he's just like, oh, I don't want to talk about me. Let's talk about you.
Yeah.
But basically, I really just think he wanted to get me liquored up. He's like, you're not keeping pace with me, sweetheart. Come
oh,
on,
really?
Sweetheart. And he kept calling me sweetheart and like, honey. And we're at the Bel Air Hotel. He calls the waitress, honey. You know, come over here, honey.
Oh, man, I hate those
So
people.
He was one of those. So he's like, come here, honey. And then he patted her on the ass after
really?
She dropped off a drink. If that were me and I was like waiting on a table and some guy did that, I would have had his hand and it would have been snapped in half.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, I can't believe he did this.
I know, I know.
And he's trying to impress you by that?
And
or
he's
what?
Trying to, you know, just like, it's
now,
just
what
very...
attracted you to him in the first place? I mean, when you decide to go on a date with someone,
well, his profile,
you gotta
have
pretty
his
good
profile
reason.
Said he was like really active. He loved playing golf and being outdoors and going skiing and traveling. And he loved like cooking and things like that. And he loved good wine. And then as soon as like, you know, I ordered a glass of wine, he's like, how much is that glass of wine? I was
really?
Like, you took me to the Bel Air Hotel. It's probably like $20. And it's their house wine. I was like, what do you want me to drink? Fucking water? No.
Wow, that's a date from hell, Susie.
I know. It really was. And then, you know, he just kept like kind of name dropping with things and then just being like, oh, my Porsche. And oh, you know, oh, I used to have a house in Malibu. And oh, I used to have an apartment here in the city. You know, and everything he was saying was like, I used to have this and that. And I was like, well,
so
where did
like
it all go?
Yeah, a typical LA guy, you know, all about the material and shit.
But
he
pretending
was
he was a Jew. He was pretending he was all about the material.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really think he was lying. And I kind of got the feeling that he was married.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He kind of let that slip up a little bit. You know, I was like, so, you know, your profile said you were divorced. And he's like, yep. And then I was like, how many times? And he says, just once. And then he kind of like made a reference to his second wife later on. And I was like, I thought you said you were only married once.
Oh.
He's like, oh, yeah, it was my ex-girlfriend. You know, we were kind of married because, you know, it was so serious.
Yeah. See, that's what happens when you start lying. Then you got to lie about everything.
Yeah.
For this to be all in line, you know.
And then he just kept saying, he's like, whoa, you are just... Oh my God, you are just gorgeous. You are a hottie. I like you. And then he would put his hand on my thigh and like try like inching his hand up my fucking thigh. I'm like, yeah. And I would just kind of like back up into the corner.
Really?
Yes.
Were you sitting at a table or at the bar?
We were sitting at the fireplace. It's kind of like a little corner couch area with a little round table.
Right. So you sit next to each other and he reached over?
Well, I was kind of sitting in my corner. Like, two other people could have fit in between us.
I see. Really?
Yeah, the way I chose to sit.
Right.
But I don't know. It was just kind of creepy, and the way he was just like, yeah, I've been getting all like these like hookers on this site that like, you know, they just want me for my money. He's like, this one girl, I let her pick the restaurant. She takes me to this ridiculous French place, you know. And on his thing, it was like his net worth is like 5 to 10 million.
Yeah, right. Now, my question to you is this, Susie. I mean, he could say anything, okay?
But you know what I mean? I think I'm a very good judge of like character once I meet someone. And on the internet.
But before you met him, when he says he makes a lot of money, I mean, he goes... Let's say on the website where it's rich people, right?
Yeah.
Who says that he's rich? You know, I mean, he can just go on there and pretend.
I know, but that's why you've got to go and like evaluate the situation. Because trust me, I've spent plenty of time with some very wealthy people, and you know what I mean. Like, they don't go and like look at the itemize the entire check, and they don't treat people. I mean, some of them do, I'm sure, but most of the people I know don't talk about their wealth.
Porsche and all that bullshit.
That is like the biggest indicator of someone that
doesn't
have money and is just kind of like trying to play it up.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it was just pretty much a date from hell.
Yeah, wow.
And now I was starting to feel badly because...
How long were you there?
I was there actually for 2 hours.
2 hours, wow.
This is something I'm really bad at. Once I like go and like go on a date or do something like this, I can never find an easy way out.
Out, yeah.
And this was awful because this was 8:30 at night, and by the time I'd gone to the bathroom like 4 times, and I'm like, how do I fucking get out of this place?
Yeah. Well, you just text a friend to call you as an emergency, and you have to go.
I know, yeah. But that's so cliche, and I've done that so many times. And actually, the last
time... Who cares? I mean, if you lost interest in the guy, who cares what the fuck he thinks? You know,
you just want to get out of there. And then he actually wanted me to come back. Like, I tell him, I was like, you know what? It's now at 10:30, and I was like, you know what? I've had such a wonderful time this evening, but I have to go. I've got to get up really early in the morning and do my radio show. You're not going to talk about this on the radio, are you?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no, I would never. Larry, yeah. Fucking Larry, awful name. I'm sorry to anyone out there named Larry, but this guy just creeped me out.
But it's all your fault. I mean, you chose to go on this date.
I know, but he seemed really cool on paper. Well, right. on the internet.
Did you talk on the phone at all?
And I talked to him on the phone, and he seemed really sweet.
Wow. So he was just totally different in person.
It did not even sound like him on the phone versus in person.
Really?
It really sounded like a completely different person.
Wow.
I just couldn't believe that. And then he was just like, yeah, I like you. You're hot. And I'm like, ew. And then he tried to kiss me on the way out, and I was just like,
no.
He's like coming at me with his tongue, like protruding from his mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, how unsexy can you really be?
Not only that, but you know, I wonder, where do guys think they have the right, that, you know, they're entitled to a kiss just because they go on a date with you?
I know.
You know? I mean, you know, if I was a woman, it's like, I don't know you. Yeah, you know, I don't care.
Don't point those things at me.
Yeah, you know. But I guess that happens when you don't like the guy. I'm sure if you're very attracted to him, you don't mind him kissing you, right?
But not on the first meeting, the first time you ever meet.
Yeah, you see, I would never try that.
I mean, if I'm like drunk in a club and like I'm dancing with like dirty dancing with some super hot guy like all night, I might just grab him by the hair and shove him into the corner and make out with him.
Right.
But you know, I feel like the courting process should be a little bit different if you're a younger girl like going out with an older man. I feel like he should like be a little bit more respectful of boundaries.
Yeah. But this guy seemed like a totally shallow fucking guy, you know. He probably doesn't know how to treat women at all.
Exactly.
Obviously he doesn't.
I mean, I was trying to like you know, go through like the icebreakers of getting to know each other, and I'm trying to tell him a little bit about my life story, and he's like, okay, yeah, so whatever. So what are we doing later tonight? And I'm like, excuse me, I'm trying to let you get to know me.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to try and... I don't actually think I wanted to get to know you anymore, but maybe... I was thinking maybe there might be something deeper under his exterior. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the case.
No, definitely wasn't.
Wow.
And this was another funny thing. So I tell my girlfriend Chase, you know, who is here in the studio.
Yeah.
She sends me a text yesterday, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Actually, I'm about to go on a date." She's like, "Oh my gosh, can I come?" No, you can't come, Chase. Okay, I'm interviewing a potential, like, you know, potential love interest.
Come on a date. What would she do?
It's my first date with this guy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. And my last day, by the way. By the way, Larry, that's the last time you're going to see me, fucker. Yeah. But yeah, so she wanted to come on my date.
Wow. And what the fuck was she planning on doing there?
I don't know. But
it's a good idea when you go on the first date, just take a friend with you.
Well, my problem is, like, all of my friends, like, Chase is absolutely stunning when she, like, you know, cleans herself up, which she would have, like, to come out to the Bel Air Hotel. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to have, like, instant competition.
Yeah. But it's not even about that. You don't go on a fucking date with a friend, you know?
You don't go on a first date with a friend.
Yeah.
You know? No, but it is kind of like the competition thing. Like, I want all of his attention to be on me.
Right.
And, you know, I want to be able to focus on him. I don't want it to be, like, you know, a little round table discussion here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I want fucking attention.
There you go. Our attention whore here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, so then I was feeling badly because as I'm driving home from work last night, I spent the day potty training a 2-year-old.
Oh, yeah?
Oh man.
That sounds terrible.
It was hysterical.
Really?
You're actually going to get to meet his mom today. She's coming to the studio to drop off one of the kids.
Uh-huh.
But we spent, like, literally, like, 6 hours with the kid outside, and we've got, like, his little fake potty. And we're like, okay, now, Skylar, you've got to pee in the potty now. No! And he's got his pants off, and he's running around with his little penis, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And so we're like, okay, Skylar, just pee on anything. Why don't you go pee on the tree? No! We're like, okay, why don't you pee on the bushes or the grass like the doggies just did? And then we're like, good doggies. The doggies get M&Ms, Skylar. Don't you want an M&M? And he's like, yes. We're like, well, then pee. No!
Wow.
So the mom and I started drinking a little early yesterday.
I'm sure. You lost your patience?
Oh, we lost our patience.
So did he finally pee anywhere?
He finally peed when he took, this was the funniest thing, and I wish to God we had had a camera, because he threw such a tantrum that he threw his little toilet, and he threw it in, like, the three components of it. It's got, like, the seat part, the whole bottom part, and then it's got the inside that you actually pee in, and then it's got a little tiny baby PC that you could take off with handles.
Uh-huh.
So he grabs that and he's like, no, and he puts it on his head. And so now his little face is peering out from where like his ass is supposed to be sitting. And he looks like an elephant running around with this thing on his head. And we're like, Skylar, no. But so then we took it away from him and he started crying so badly that he lost control of trying to hold it in and just peed all over the concrete.
Just peed. Oh, wow.
So then we're like, okay, we've traumatized the poor kid enough.
Tomorrow is a new day,
yes, yes.
The poor kid.
I know, can you imagine? But it really was quite funny.
It is traumatic for them, I think, no?
I don't know.
I think some of them actually look forward to that. I don't even remember my kids' potty training. I think it was pretty easy, yeah. I remember it vaguely, but I think it was pretty easy, you know?
Yeah, I know personally for me, maybe I shouldn't say this on the radio, I don't know, but, like, I refused to be potty trained for a very long time.
Really?
I was actually changing my own diapers at one point, and my parents were like, if you're changing your own fucking diapers, you are old enough to not be wearing them! God, for God's sake, Susie!
Whoa.
So that was pretty bad. I won't tell you what age that was.
Yeah, I was going to school at 18 with a fucking
diaper
on.
No, it was the age of 4.
Yeah.
And it was only at night that I was wearing them. I was potty trained during the day, but, you know, 4 years old, I'm changing my own diapers. My parents are like, Susie,
funny.
Seriously. Oh, too much information.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my day and evening last night with the creepy guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's funny, when we were talking to the author, you were like, so is wine okay? She didn't realize, and she goes, yeah, a glass is fine. I'm like, no, you mean a box.
I mean 6 bottles. Yeah. I didn't want to say that to her either. When she was like, oh yeah, a glass of wine's great. I'm like, oh no, a glass? What am I going to do with a glass?
Yeah, what are you going to do with a glass? Anyway, let's take a little break.
All right.
And we'll be back right after this.
Introducing a new perfume for the woman in all of us.
Transgender.
A sexy yet confused fragrance as alluring as it is alarming.
Transgender.
A cologne that he'll like, a cologne that she'll like, a cologne that he'll like when he wants to feel like. a she.
Transgender.
Indulge yourself with a transgender gift set. Perfume, body lotion, aftershave, and soap on a rope.
Transgender.
For a scent as deceptive as the person who wears it.
Transgender.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station. Talk station.
Smoke-filled covers of the light, as two blind lovers steal the night. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Decorated drunken lives can eclipse those starry eyes. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Can we go? Whisper favorite tunes to eager listeners bathed in moons. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? Faithful souls with aging leaves stand patrol as rain deceives. Can you feel it? And can you feel it's inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't white? Can we go where summers never lie? Summers never lie. But isn't it about chance of standing still? Isn't it about a love that always will? Early hours just observe, nighttime's meaning to be heard. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Heavy metal, huh?
I love that entrance.
I know, it's cool.
So did you hear that the fires in Santa Barbara were started by a couple of college kids with a bonfire?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard that.
That's really scary. I guess they actually tracked down the actual kids. These people, investigators are amazing the way they could
I know.
Track down people, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. a bunch of drunk college kids just having a party in the woods.
I know. And figuring out how a fire was started, you know? I mean, that's amazing.
That blows my mind. It yeah. seriously does. Like, always trying to figure, you know, everything's melted away.
I know.
How do they figure out if it was electrical or not, or this or that, or if it was from a cigarette butt? It's amazing.
It really is, you know? And I'm just, like, really proud of our firemen. You know,
oh,
I mean,
me just, too.
I'm sure.
Oh,
what
the
is
firemen.
It with women and firemen?
Like, thank you, firemen.
Is it that you like the courage and shit? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Or
they
are just rough.
They just seem just very strong and courageous, and they're just so brave in the way they'll run into a burning house to save your little kitty. And you're like, oh, thank you, Mr. Fireman. Oh, God.
Shut That's up. Funny, but the women like uniform, huh?
Yeah, I think women do like uniforms a lot.
Yeah.
I think men like uniforms a lot as well, too.
You think so?
When I was doing my military police stuff, people absolutely just, what the fuck, Sam?
I know, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
First time on the radio?
Yeah. It's embarrassing. Sometimes I guess I forget.
I forgot what I was
vibrate.
Even saying.
Okay.
Shocked me.
You were talking about in the military with your uniform.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. People always like, I don't know, I guess I looked pretty cute in my military uniform with the way you have to do your hair and everything, and then, I don't know, put those boots on. And yeah. You just.
We have a cute soldier here.
Yeah. My sister's a really cute soldier, too. She looks really good in her uniform.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so she went to the military, too?
She's an Army doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, after she went to Notre Dame and Georgetown, you know, my family was like, all right, we're done helping you pay for your school. So medical school, it's all you. And she was like, well, I don't want to take out like $300,000 worth of loans.
Yeah.
So she joined the military and was commissioned as a captain when she graduated from med school.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good way to do it.
I know. So she is like zero debt at all. Like, you know, she doesn't owe any money
nice.
For med school.
Yeah.
And when she finishes doing her residency, you know, she'll go and do 4 years somewhere as a doctor. So, I mean, it's going to be like low risk. She's not going to be like frontline in Iraq.
Yeah.
And then she'll open her own medical practice after that and just, you know, start making money.
Yeah. So she's still in the military?
Yeah, she still is.
Oh, wow.
She just probably just joined like 2 years ago.
Really?
My sister's funny because, like, little things that I used to do in my life, like, I used to row crew for years, like, starting in, like, 7th grade all the way through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And she was always like, crew's for pussies, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's a wimpy sport. And then all of a sudden she went to Notre Dame for her undergrad, and all of a sudden, you know, she was on the varsity crew team. And she was like, oh, it's just not the same. You know, this is varsity crew at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
This is nothing like the crew that you used to row.
Yeah.
And then,
like, excuse me.
I'm like, oh, well, excuse me, it's the same goddamn thing. And then, you know, same with the military when I joined. She's like, I can't believe you joined the military. Ew, that's so disgusting.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then she turns around and
then
the
she turns
thing.
Around and does it, but then she's like, it's not the same. You went in as an enlisted person. I'm at least an officer. You have to salute me, not so Private Riley. I'm like, you fucking bitch.
Do you guys ever have sibling rivalry, you think?
You know what? When Yes and no. I mean, I think all siblings do to a certain extent.
Mm.
But I think it's mostly the pressure we kind of put on ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, I always kind of, my family doesn't specifically say, you know, you, Susie, you've been in undergraduate school for 8 years and you still don't have a degree.
Yeah.
You know, your sister's been in school for 8 years, but she's a doctor. What do you have to show for it?
Yeah.
They don't specifically say that, but I'm kind of projecting my feelings onto them. And then yeah. I'm just like, my family's disappointed in me because I'm a loser.
Yeah.
I talk about sex all morning.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what the fuck? You're on the fucking radio. And you say whatever the hell you want.
I know.
And you're going to become a big star, huge star
a
soon.
A big, huge star.
Yeah. I meant the big star soon.
A big
and
star
then,
soon.
Yeah, and then they're going to.
They're going to eat their words.
Yeah, suddenly everybody's going to become nice to you.
I know, right? You know, it's not that they're not nice to me in the first place, but I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of literally projecting my feelings on them. And like,
probably.
The first thing they always say to me when I pick up the phone, like my grandfather in particular, so, have you graduated college yet? And I'm like, no.
Not yet.
No, leave me alone. Like, I tell you this every week when I talk to you. It takes time. Oh, God. But whatever. What can you do?
Yeah. You can't go on living satisfying your family, you know?
No, definitely not.
You got to live for yourself.
That's for sure.
And they'll learn to live with it.
You know, I really think they are. I was talking to my dad's girlfriend yesterday, basically one of the girls in my bicycle club, you know, my dad's girlfriend Judy was talking about how I'm just so giving of like my time and my money. And even though if I have like $50 in my pocket and someone needs it, I will give them that $50.
Really?
Or if like if I see like a battered girl like get thrown out of an apartment and like she's hysterical crying on the street, like I'll stop and be like, are you okay? What can I do to help you?
Yeah.
Like she'll be like, I need a ride somewhere, and like I'll give her a ride somewhere, like even though I have something important to do. And she was just saying, that's the kind of person you are, Susie. And she's like, it's great. And that goes back to what I was just about to tell you. One of the girls in my bicycling club, her mother just died.
Mm.
And the family doesn't have a lot of money at all. And they don't have enough money for the burial. And so basically this girl has reached out to all of the cyclists, like online and like through Facebook and Midnight Riders. Mm-hmm. And everyone's put together. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
Really?
Because it's so good. Like people yeah. really can be so good and it's so wonderful. But everyone's come together and like donated what little money they have to like help this girl bury her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's cool with money and stuff. But let me ask you this. I mean, you said if you see somebody thrown out or something, would you take her in?
It depends on the vibe that I would get from the person.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, I mean, my only experience, well, not the only experience, but, well, I guess it's the only one where there was a stranger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was a friend of a friend, and she didn't have anywhere to stay. So, you know, we had her, I was living with a roommate at the time, and we just had her come and stay at the apartment for a couple days, Susie. She left us with crabs in the fucking apartment.
Ew.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes you can try and be nice and help people, but they fuck you, you know?
Well, that's not something she didn't purposely try and leave you, ew, crabs. Oh, God.
No, I'm sure she didn't purposely do it, but I mean, come on, you know, if you have it, you don't fucking stay around at somebody's house.
I know.
You know?
Well,
and it took me fucking months, and you can't get rid of them.
Why?
I mean, because they're like on the furniture and everything.
Ew.
Yeah, and the carpet and the furniture.
God.
You can't see them, but I mean, you can't get rid of them, Susie. I would take so many showers with this special shampoo the clothes with this special shampoo, but it always came back.
Oh, Sam, that makes me want to
puke. It always came back, Susie. It was
Ew.
The most disgusting thing you've ever been
Ew.
Through. But you know, in hindsight, I'm thinking to myself, it never occurred to me to shave off my fucking pubic hairs.
You would have had to shave off your eyebrows, like everything.
No, it doesn't go. No, they're just in the genital area.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
They like it where it's warm. So, I mean, the only way I finally got rid of it is when I moved out. I moved.
The poor people that moved into the apartment next.
And I had to sanitize everything, you know, put all the clothes in the machine, then threw them straight in
bags. You're making me itch.
That's how I fucking felt for a long
itches.
Time. And let me tell you, when I was dating at the time, and I wouldn't have sex with these women, and they didn't know what the fuck was going on, because I didn't make a move, because I didn't want to give it to them.
Oh, God, Sam, that's so awful.
It really is, Susie. You know, but I mean, I would have made it a lot easier for myself if I had shaved my hair.
My
pubics.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So basically, I've always taken in like a lot of people into my apartment and my home, sort of like needed a place to stay.
Right.
Always. And I always end up getting fucked in the long run. They always end up walking all over me or, you know, not paying rent or just like eating all of my food. And I come home and I'm like, all right, I just spent $100 on groceries.
And then
they
hate you, you know? So, you know, I mean.
Then they become resentful of you that you have an apartment.
That's what irks me. You know, it's like it seems like every time you help someone, right? And you don't continue helping, then you become like the worst person. And they become your fucking enemy. So you lose the friend and your money.
You know what? I can tell you, like, I feel the exact same way, like, with regards to Franz. So you know what I mean? I pick him up at the airport, and he's got, like, all these bags and stuff. But my room is really small in my new house. And so I was like, all right, you could stay with me for one night, but that's it. And he's like, all right, well, can I leave all my stuff here? And I was like, no.
No.
You can't leave all your stuff here.
So now you're the bitch.
So now I'm the bitch. You know what I mean? And,
uh-huh.
And then he just told me, he found his friend is letting him keep the stuff at the house, but the house has gone up on the market. So then he calls me, and he's like, I'm going to have to throw out all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that sucks. And he's like, well, yeah, because you won't let me keep it at your house.
Yeah, so it's your responsibility, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, he comes with a lot of baggage and, you know, in more than one way, let's say.
Yes.
Right? And he has nowhere to stay by his own choice.
He can get a job and work like the rest of us.
And then you're not okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, he didn't have a mode of transportation, even though he's got like 5 bicycles. None of them are actually in working condition right now. So then he was like, well, I need a bike. So, you know, now he's using my $5,000 track bike because that was the only one that I have to loan him. And then he tells me, he's like, oh, you know, I took it to the shop to kind of like clean it up and everything. And he's like, and it's not really working really well.
Oh.
Like, there's something wrong with it. I'm like, so I just let you, my really expensive bike, I'm the bad guy, you're going to have to lose your shit, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just had a phone call. I don't know why a lot of calls are failing, Susie. I don't know what the fuck's happening. It says call failed. But,
That's really weird.
Yeah, please call back. So, you know, and that's what really irritates me. So then you're always in a bind, you know, do I help the guy out or not? Because I'm always going to end up being the son of a bitch in the end. And it's happened so many fucking times.
I know.
You know?
But can I tell you this one last thing?
And especially, I'm sorry, but
no, it's okay.
Especially don't let people stay with you. That's the worst fucking thing. Because then they get used to it. And they don't leave.
What is that saying? It's like, nothing smells worse than a house guest or something.
Yeah.
Or
no.
Dead
Let
fish.
Me tell you. Okay. House guests are like fish. They start smelling after a few days.
Yes. That's it. I was like, dead fish. Schmegma. What is it?
It's smegma. Oh, God, it's gross.
Oh, I know. But seriously, literally the day that I got Franz out of my apartment in Venice, and I was still pretty much living in my other house now, I was still going to the Venice apartment to, like, finish getting things out of the apartment. There was a hippie van pulled up right in front of my house, and there were, like, these three, like, dirty hippies in their van, and they asked me, they're like, oh, is it okay if we park here? And they seemed really nice, and I was like, sure. I literally had to, like, stop myself from being like, oh, you guys, here's the key to this apartment. I don't live here right now. Like, feel free to go in and take showers.
Really?
And I literally had to, like, stop myself from, like, inviting them into the apartment.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm liable for this apartment. You know what I mean? I want to get my deposit back, et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
But I almost freely gave three dirty hippies living in a van the key to my apartment.
Because you don't think of consequences. You know, I mean, you went on that
date
last night.
I'm starting to, at
really?
Least. At least I'm starting to.
I mean, those dates, you know, I mean, one time you're going to meet this fucking serial murderer or something, you know?
Well, that's
Be
why
careful.
You meet in a public place.
No, that's true. But, I mean, people are not what they seem. You know, many times. You saw that last night. You know?
The one thing that really kind of weirded me out, he was just like, he's like, you have to be Googleable to be my girlfriend. He's like, are you Googleable? And I was like, who fucking says that? Who fucking says, are you going to be Googleable? And I was like, actually, I am Googleable. Ha.
Oh, wow.
And I'm only Googleable because of this radio show, but that's besides the point.
But he's a total L.A. stereotype, this guy.
Oh, God. Typical L.A. Jew.
So he was a Jew, so he gave Jews a bad name too.
I know, he really did.
But that was
I think he was a halfie though.
A halfie.
Halfie.
Okay.
A half Jew.
Half Jew.
Half Jew.
Okay. How do you know? Did he tell you he was Jewish?
He told me he was Jewish. Uh-huh. But I think he said his father was Irish. Mm. So that led me to think. Mm-hmm. There aren't Irish Jews, are there?
No, not many.
I don't think there are many Australian Jews, Irish Jews, or Canadian Jews, or black Jews.
Canadian Jews, there's a lot.
Really?
A lot. Toronto is full. Yeah. Maybe I'm starting to be distracted because the guest's not here yet.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How do we know anyway. They're here? Whatever.
Okay, Toronto is full of fucking Jews.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know where else, and I know Montreal has some, but they're
Five.
All over the place.
Oh, they're slowly taking over the world.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, man, these Jews, you know, they own the media and Hollywood and Wall Street. Yeah, no wonder people hate us.
I know.
Yeah. Like your Palestinian friend.
Oh, God.
He's like, no, it's not about hatred. And then he shows you all the fucking hatred he's got.
Yes, he's not your biggest fan.
No.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and remember, I did nothing to him.
You know, I have to give you credit because you really were, you know, very, very diplomatic about the whole situation.
I thought I was, you know. I mean, I'm on the radio, you know. I'm a classy person. You know, I don't attack people. You know, and unless they fuck me, you know, and he didn't. I mean, he's fine. You know, I don't know the guy, you know, but
let's just say I won't be bringing him into the studio for a live discussion.
You should, though. You'll see one day he'll end up coming in here.
Well, no, I don't want him to, like, get, like, super pissed off and then all of a sudden, like, I mean, I know him on, like, a friend level, like, we're acquaintances in a biology class, but
right.
I mean, who knows if, like, you really say something that will push one of his buttons, he can come in here and blow us up.
I know, yeah. No, they don't need to know where we are.
No.
We don't want Palestinians around here.
Oh, God.
Not a good idea.
No, that's for sure.
Not a good idea. You're not seeing our guest coming around, do you?
I thought I saw a shadow move before, but
really?
I don't
do you
know.
Want to take a look real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So Susie's going to take a look. Yesterday, I was like on my cell phone talking while I was on the air, which was shameful, but we were trying to connect with the guest and everything, you know, so... Oh, cool. She's here. All right. Let us take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
It's the video game that runs over every rule of free market capitalism. Grand Theft Auto Bailout.
I'm stealing this car. Now it's time to steal some taxpayer money.
After running their companies into the ground, the automakers are running wild on the streets of Washington, D.C. And they're taking every dollar they can get their oily hands on.
Listen up, Senator. I want this check to go from zero to $25 billion in 5 seconds.
The most popular video game series ever is turning a new chapter. Chapter 11, Grand Theft Auto Bailout, made in Detroit.
on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, and thank you guys for holding, because we have a very, very good-looking guest in the studio.
Yes.
Good morning
yes.
to you.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Thank you for such a nice compliment this early in the morning.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He doesn't give them out that freely, trust
no,
me.
I really don't.
He told me I was ugly today, so.
I did not
That's
say
very
that.
Flattering.
What do you mean?
You said you don't like my eye makeup. You're not sure how
I
you feel about it.
I did not say I didn't like it.
So basically, you just called me fat and ugly.
I did not call you fat and ugly. Would you shut up, please? So, you're Tara,
yep,
right?
My name is Tara Jolet.
Jolet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not Jolie. It's Jolet.
It's Jolet.
Jolet.
I'm not an Angelina Jolie. I'm a Tara Jolet.
I see.
My
okay.
mom decided to be creative.
Right. And but you're also Britney Spears at times.
I am. I'm a mini Britney Spears impersonator because I'm 4 foot two. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. A band called Mini Kiss. And uh-huh. I was like, look, I'm not doing the Kiss thing anymore. He's like, don't worry. He's like, think of something and then call me back. I was like, okay, I will. And so I called him back and I was like, Madonna or Britney? And I was like, what do you think? And then he was like, go Britney, do it. And seriously, that was like a little over a year ago. That was not this past February, but the February before that. And it has just skyrocketed since then.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
wow.
so awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a really fun ride so far.
I'm sure. So how do you go about this? You decide one day, okay, I'm going to impersonate Britney. What do you do next?
I know. That is the question. Well, right now, the Britney thing has been keeping me so busy. I just got back from
I think I asked the question wrong. What I meant is, so how did you get into this? I mean, first you decided you want to do it. What did you do next?
I contacted a good friend of mine, Raquel, who was a manager of mine previously, and we decided to work again together. She was like, let me see how it flows in New York. I'm going to ask around. And then she calls me back like an hour later. She's like, you're flying to New York next week. You're booked for a week at this place called The Box. So
right.
I was like, score!
That's so great.
And then it just became to where it was nonstop. And it's a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun. I've expanded my... I was a headliner in Las Vegas.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Amazing.
Right outside of the Planet Hollywood at... connected club called Crave.
Uh-huh.
And I did Cher, I did Madonna, I did everything under the sun. So
do you, and Susie and
do
I
you
were
actually
wondering.
Sing?
Yes.
I do. I am not a lip singer.
Really?
I can't dance that good. Britney's got way better dance moves than I do. But
Sometimes.
Well, she's
when she's in shape, we'll give her that.
Yeah. She is Britney after all.
She
you
is.
Know.
I have this quadruple strip that I just added into my whole set.
Uh-huh. Quadruple strip?
Strip.
Ooh.
But I'm not naked. It's totally a PG, maybe PG-13 show.
Right.
And it goes from the toxic stewardess outfit
uh-huh.
to the nude suit to the red cat suit to
oh.
the Gimme More outfit.
Really?
And it all just comes off one outfit. Like,
wow.
I look like I'm a Goodyear blimp when I'm first wearing it, but then the second that we get down, it's pretty fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
so great.
And are these like clothes that Britney Spears
Yeah, they're
Spears
all
wearing?
Identical from her videos or clothes that have made her popular. Like the Gimme More outfit was from the VMAs,
mm-hmm.
the one that got her so much publicity.
Right.
And then, of course, the other two are from her music videos.
Yeah. I don't think Sam has seen those music videos.
Which ones? Yeah, I have.
Oh,
I
you have?
I've seen
okay.
Britney's, yeah.
So what was she wearing in the Toxic video?
wasn't it like a fishnet or something?
No fishnet there, but no. that's close. It's
yeah,
good,
it's a good
it's
guess.
Good guess.
Right?
Yes, good guess.
For any pop artist,
well,
they're wearing fishnets.
Yeah. If I saw it, well, listen, I may have seen it once. I don't remember it, but okay, whatever.
Good times.
But listen, so where did you learn to dance? I mean, have you like been totally like immersed in Britney Spears since you started this?
I have. You know, I never read People or any of those other gossip magazines.
Oh, bullshit. Every girl reads them.
I never did before this.
Really?
And then now it's like my Bible. Like people ask me all the time, hey, did you hear what happened with Britney's sister or how she moved in with her father? Or and I'm like, no. Let me go pick up a US whatever. I was just
Us Weekly.
Exactly. It's like amazing how much people expect me to know about her.
Yes.
In her personal life.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm just impersonating her songs. I don't know about her personal life.
Next question. Have you ever met her?
I met her when I was doing... I did a live performance, but I wasn't doing Mini Britney. I met her like back in 2000 at the VMAs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it was totally a different scenario, and she's extremely nice, but I haven't run into her as I'm doing Mini Britney.
So how did you get into the VMA Awards?
I did a thing for Blink-182.
Oh, nice.
When they did all the small things and they hired about 100 million little people.
Really?
Yeah.
So basically you've been typecast is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Well, what
you
do
know,
you,
if the elf shoe expect? Fits, I'll make it happen.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. I mean, you know, despite adversity and everything, I'm sure you've had a very tough life, right?
Yeah. I mean, on and off. I honestly have been very fortunate in my life. My parents are average. I'm going to give you a quick sum of my life. My parents are average. They had me, ta-da, it's like winning the lottery, 1 in 40,000, everybody carries the gene, moving on. Then they decided to adopt my brother a year later, who's also a little person. So I had the opportunity to grow up with another little person.
Nice, and they did this for you.
Well, they did it for the family, I think. It was just an easier, it wasn't just for me, I think it was for them as well to feel like they, you know, had
Now that's
overall,
very courageous.
Yeah.
That's very courageous.
That
Definitely.
Is so wonderful. That you just know? Gave me chills. That's so cute.
I'm sure some people would just say, God, you know, why me? Why did it happen to me? And here, they're not only that and loving you so much, but they're bringing someone for you so you feel you can relate to
totally.
Someone.
Totally. And my brother's parents, unfortunately, gave him up because he was little.
Oh.
So it's kind of ironic. My parents got him because he was little, and they gave him up because he was little.
Yeah, you see, I mean, there's definitely answers for every prayer.
Definitely.
Oh,
amazing.
That's, seriously, that made my nipples hard.
Well, don't get her started now. Wow. So you grew up here in the Valley?
No, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm like a big vagabond. I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm currently living in the Valley.
Yeah. You totally have the Texas look, doesn't she, though?
I mean, yes. I think the pigtails. Yeah.
The pigtails.
The pigtails help.
Yeah, and the nice face and everything. I think everybody from Texas is beautiful, you know?
Wow, that's
I don't know what that is.
Nice.
I've noticed that.
All Jews are cheap. Everyone from Texas is beautiful.
Exactly. There you go.
And usually has extremely big hair.
Really?
In Texas.
Yeah.
Really?
Of course. You got to have big hair in Texas.
Really?
When I get this sucker curled, woo-wee, you better step back. Yeah. Gives me an extra foot in height.
Can you ride a mechanical bull? That's another thing I attribute to Texans.
I just did a movie where I had to ride a mechanical bull for the very first time.
Really?
And I felt so special because I did my own stunt and I fell head first afterwards.
Wow. Wait,
were you supposed to be falling head first? Or
I don't
no?
think so.
I was supposed to be falling off, but I decided, let's go the head first route.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And you came out in one piece.
Good times, yeah.
Wow. So, and when did you move to LA?
I moved to LA on and off. I've been here since 2001.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah,
and what made you move out here? Did you know you wanted to try and make it in entertainment?
Yeah, I've always wanted to sing. I've always, for my entire life, I just had no idea I would be doing impersonating. And I'm still making my own music. I'm working on my own single. However, I had no idea in a million gazillion years that I would be impersonating another artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, honestly, I don't care what I do as long as I'm doing what I want for a living.
Yeah.
I'm totally happy.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, you totally took what you have and you made it into gold. I mean, my God, you know, that's why I'm really impressed. You
Thank
know,
you.
I'm really, really impressed. And I salute you for that because, I don't know, just knowing myself, well, I guess you can't really know, you know, unless I
have
you
lived always
your
to be
life.
On the radio?
But, maybe.
Yes,
yeah,
good point. Good
that's
point.
That's true, yeah. But, but, you know, I mean, I would imagine as a small person, it would be hard, right? Is it small or little? I mean, I don't want to
offend
you.
Small, little, Tara,
yeah,
whatever
same
you want to call
it. Okay. No, but I was talking in general, though, that, I don't know if I would have been a very happy person, but I guess if you are happy, then it doesn't matter what happens to you, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did you have a hard time growing up in school? Did people give you a lot of trouble?
You know, it's kind of a wild situation. We actually were very fortunate. I mean, of course, there's kids will be kids, and kids can be very,
very mean,
horrible.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that likes to ignore things and just move on, and my day seems to be going really well. If they get more of a rise out of it than I do, then we're good to go. But there was another gentleman that lived in the same city that I did, and he had a really rough childhood. He was also a little person, about the same height as myself. And he would be shoved in lockers. He would be, thrown in trash cans. And so, like, he had a really rough time, and wow. We were very fortunate that that kind of thing never happened to us. In fact, people would come up to us and be like, if anybody messes with you, you come to me, because we're going to take care of that.
Nice. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, we had a really great, strong group of friends, which we're very fortunate.
I also think it helps that you're, like, super hot, too.
No, really, really.
I was a total nerd in high school, elementary, middle school, so that didn't help me then.
Oh, never mind, never mind.
So, most of your life, have you hung out with people, you know, like yourself?
Of little stature or short stature?
Yes, or vertically challenged, right?
Vertically challenged.
Whatever they call it. Yeah, whatever the politically correct anymore.
Both. I mean, there's an organization called Little People of America that actually has large meetings, chapter meetings per cities, and then it comes to regional meetings, and then there's a national convention once a year.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, we hang out with those people. You find an automatic bond with a lot of the same, I mean, with a person that you can stare in the eyes and you don't have to, like, look up at 2 feet taller than you or whatever the case
may
be.
Right,
yeah.
But I also have a lot of average stature friends. My best friend in the entire world is average, and that's...
Yeah.
The politically correct term that we usually use. Normals, average. No bueno.
For us average people.
Yeah. No, average is not such a great word either. But
average is way better than normal, because then I'm like, what are you saying? Yeah. Am I not normal? Yeah. What are you saying?
People never call me normal.
Yeah, and she doesn't get offended at all.
No.
Well, no, but I have both, and it's good to have that.
Yeah.
That, variety, I would think,
absolutely.
Limit yourself to one specific.
Yeah, and to be accepted, you know, I mean, it's definitely. Just, you know, to be with quote-unquote normal people, because you don't want to feel you're not, you don't want to feel you're not normal, you know,
I mean,
that's the worst thing a person can
We're
feel
all
like
normal.
That, you know?
Exactly.
Wow. And what about dating and stuff?
That was my next question,
yeah,
too.
Well, where do you stand with that?
I'm currently with a gentleman, his name, he's the guy from, have y'all ever seen Benchwarmers?
No,
I haven't seen it.
No.
Well, if y'all watch Benchwarmers, his name is Joey Nafo, and he and I are an item.
Really?
Oh.
Yes.
And he's an average person?
He's a little person.
Oh, he is.
But I've dated both average and little.
Right.
You're
more comfortable with little.
Yeah,
people.
Overall, I would probably say I'm more comfortable.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know,
good
I mean,
and
you
bad
should,
experiences
you, think you should date
average.
Like Asian men, because they're just like naturally
Asian
small. Get yourself a nice Japan man.
Totally. I need to go to Japan or China and feel like I fit in or something.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and Asian people, they love like Britney Spears and everything like over there. Seriously.
That's
Britney
awesome.
Spears and Paris Hilton. You should do some Paris Hilton impersonation too.
I'm not skinny enough for that.
Oh, yeah. You're like, I like to eat. Okay.
I know. Nobody can be Paris Hilton, I don't think. you know, most people are not born with such a small brain, you know.
Oh.
She's very unusual.
I think she's brilliant.
Yeah.
She's one of my idols.
So, how long have you been with this guy?
We've been together about a year and a half now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Any marriage in the future?
Quite possibly.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who knows? Yeah.
Cool. What else? I had this, I forgot what I wanted to say, but it was important.
It was important.
It was important.
We'll come back to it. Have you always wanted to be in radio?
No. No, I haven't. I mean, yes, I have. I have, but I never really pursued it, you know. It just sort of fell into my lap, you know. So that was nice, you know. I remember what I wanted to ask you now. Okay, going back to this. I knew I'd remember. But
he's got the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah, I do. Now,
quick, before he forgets.
Your home now, is that like totally designed for you?
No, actually. It's just, right now, the countertops are the same. Everything's the same. We just... chuck around a couple of stools and we're good to go.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't feel a need like to have lower tables and chairs and things like that?
No, I mean, once I have settled down permanently, I mean, I haven't even been back in LA since I was in Vegas for a full year. So once I've settled down permanently, then I can consider I could see myself changing the kitchen. Because I think the kitchen is an ideal place to have lower counters or like a, especially around the stovetop when butter starts flaring in your face, and that's not fun. Yeah. But as long as you have a stool, you're good to go most of the time. But at friends' house, they usually don't have stools, so if I can't find a chair, I will scale their cabinets. I'll just climb right up. Like,
really?
No big deal. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if you need it, it's just like we've grown up our entire lives. We're great climbers.
That's right. That's right.
Make awesome climbers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it's got to, I mean, I don't want to bring this down, but it's got to feel awful when everybody's taller than you, no?
No, you know, some people would think it's great. We get to stare at a lot of asses
That's
all day.
That's true. Under a skirt or something.
But, I mean, it's honestly just the way, it's kind of like, if you don't have something, then you don't feel like you're missing anything. Mm. So if you've never actually been given that, then I don't feel like I'm missing anything in life. I think it's all on how you look at it. And
that's true.
I play hide-and-go-seek better than any of y'all, so oh, yeah. I mean, we have advantages. We get handicap placards. What else?
You get a handicap placard?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, we have really delicate backs, and we're not supposed to carry... My specific type of dwarfism has a fairly delicate back, and we're not supposed to carry heavy things for long distances.
Oh, wow.
But whenever we go out to the clubs, it's my car we're taking. I'm just kidding.
So how many types of dwarfs are there?
There's over 300 different types of
little
people.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
And they can go anything from... my type of little person is called achondroplasia, which is the most common type of dwarfism out there.
Yeah.
But then there's... Mini-Me, a.k.a. Vern Troyer, is a completely different type.
I mean, he's cartilage hair. So small, though, right?
Yeah, he's 2'8".
2'8"?
Nobody realizes.
I'm 4'2", so just picture that.
You're not so little anymore.
No, not really. I mean,
2'8"?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine? So that's why I see, you know, I mean, you sort of like take what you have and you turn it into a career.
Totally.
Into something that actually makes you, you know, successful rather than just sit around and say, I wish I was an average person.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
I wish I was a girl who was cool. I was calmer.
So did you consciously have to, like, make that decision, or were you always a happy, satisfied person with yourself?
Honestly, I think everybody has their moments where they're unhappy with one another.
Right.
What hard questions you're asking, by the way, but
really?
That's cool. Let's go on. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it's kind of ironic because my entire life I'm like, man, I just want to be taller.
Yeah.
And then when I get out here, they're like, oh, you're 4'2"? Oh, you're too tall. Like,
really?
There's so many height requirements when it comes to little people auditions that must be under 4 feet is an average thing that happens a lot.
So you can't wear big hair.
Right, or they, like, people will ask you to lie about your height just to get you into the audition.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm too tall? What?
Yeah. That's funny.
I grew up in the modeling industry, and it was always like, you always have to lie, like, an inch.
Totally,
inch all around.
It is.
You've got to lie an inch on your bust, an inch on your waist, an inch on your hips, and, you know, and definitely an inch on your height. So it's kind of the same thing, you know what I mean?
Right, it's totally the same thing. I went into an Elf audition. Cha-ching. Anyways, so, and in the Elf audition, I was with another gentleman, and he was like, I'm going to say I'm 4'4". He's actually 4'5". He's like, you better say you're 4'1". And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah, totally. So it's pretty amazing how the industry works, but I'm happy. And out here, I'd probably say there's a larger little people community than anywhere else in the United States.
Oh, that's interesting.
I remember doing... I did Austin Powers 3. I was a dancer in it. Okay, you have to go, like, on the extras of the teasers. It was on the teaser. Anyways.
Okay.
So, and I'm chasing after Vern, and then we freeze in the middle of the street and do this whole little dance routine. Fun times. Well, I never in my life knew that there were that many little people out here, like, until that day. They hired, like, over 300 little people. I was like, who are you? Who are you? I've never seen you before.
It's like a little person orgy.
It was amazing how many little people were on that set. It was incredible.
Interesting. Yeah, because I guess they all come out to L.A. also, to Hollywood, to try and make
Definitely.
It. Definitely. You know?
And there's lots of, I mean, if you're not on the screen, there's still lots of stuff that we do behind the scenes. Stand-in work for children.
Mm.
I mean, there's lots of, like, stunts for children if you're proportionate. I'm not, true. So unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
you would also think with your back, you wouldn't really be able to do too many stunts and things.
Right. It's lots of people take it on even though they're very delicate, but they just do it because the money is just so amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, wonderful. So are you rich now?
No.
You're not. But not yet.
Not yet, exactly. Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
You're on the way there.
I want to know about your reality show.
Oh, it's actually finishing the pilot.
Okay.
I can't really say a lot about it, but right. A&E had basically come to me. So that was a pretty exciting thing.
I'm sure.
I didn't outsource, and it was just a really fortunate. They actually came to me while I was still in good old Las Vegas. Uh-huh. And
is that kind of what brought you back out to LA?
I was out in LA before I did that, and then
you just had it with Vegas or what?
I just had the headlining opportunity with Vegas. When that ended, I came back to Los Angeles just because there's more work here than going back to San Antonio.
Yes.
Unless I want to be like in a mariachi band or something.
Yeah. Well, so San Antonio, is that where you're from?
Yes, San Antonio, Texas.
Wow.
My sister did a officer basic training there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I lived near a lot of bases.
Yes, there are a lot of bases in Texas.
Everybody's from everywhere in San Antonio because...
It's all military
it's
people.
It's all military.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And people are like, why do you say sir and ma'am? And it's not even because I'm from Texas. It's because the military.
Everyone there is a sir or ma'am.
Totally.
Yep.
Now, do you have any music that we can play on MySpace or something?
I don't just yet, but as soon as I do, I'm totally calling in and... I'm going to give that to y'all.
Yeah, yes, you have
to.
Send us the CD.
We just have to sign a few more papers to make sure everything's concrete, and then the single is finished.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
And nice. The reality show, what is it, pretty much following you around?
Yeah, it's basically going to be taking me starting my own variety show, which is pretty exciting, and... I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, they must think you have a great personality to be able to do that. I mean, I do.
Hope so.
Yeah.
I'm a real big bitch and I would make great reality television. I'm sorry, I just said a...
You could say bitch, you could say fuck, you could say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you
want. Okay, we're good to go.
Yes.
I know, we warned Raquel about this, you know, so she said it's fine. Is it Raquel or Rochelle?
Raquel, yeah.
Raquel, right, yeah. Rock.
She is a Jew, so I got to stand up for
He's a Jew.
She's half Jew.
He's half Jew, half Catholic. So I always, we just kind of give each other shit. He tells me I'm a slut, and I'm like, well, you're just a Jew.
But what does her being Jewish have to do with anything?
Because I heard her bagging on Jews earlier.
Oh, I see. She does all the time. She does all the time.
I date Jewish people. I love Jewish people. I'm actually contemplating becoming one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because Sam's enrolling me on J-Date.
On J-Date.
So he's going to find me a nice Jewish man.
That's pretty exciting.
And so I might become a Jew.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Thank you.
So I'm really curious. Now, you mentioned a gene, right? So this happens when someone has a gene. You said everybody has this gene?
Everybody carries the gene. And about, I think it was 2001 or 2002, they found the gene in the human body, but they currently don't know how to control it.
Oh.
So they can definitely tell if you're having a little person ahead of time. They didn't know I was little when I was born until I think a couple of weeks after I was born.
Oh.
But a lot of people... But
are you born proportional
I'm
when
totally
you're born?
I'm totally born proportionate.
Really?
I might have a little bit of a larger head, but I'm totally born proportionate. I was the biggest baby in the hospital. I was almost 10 pounds. I was
really?
Like 9 point something.
Uh-huh. I was a big baby like that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had no idea. Like everybody asked me, were you like a pound when you were born?
Aww.
I'm like, no.
That's terrible.
But, yeah, everybody's born very... They look just like a regular baby, and then it just happens with the growth. I'm not going to be explaining this correctly,
right.
but
the parts grow at different rates or something.
Exactly.
Or,
our limbs would grow at different rates, and just like I'm sitting here with you, and my torso is the exact same size as both of you, but my arms and my legs are shorter.
I see. Okay. So from the waist up,
I have an average size torso.
Right.
It's just my arms and my legs are shorter.
Wow.
Now, is it hard to find clothes?
Shirts, no problem. Good to go. Pants, I can wear some kids. But if I want like a,
'cause you have
a dress,
you have a womanly figure. I mean, like you've got hips and boobs. And
I have a large hips. Yep. So I can do it. All we basically have to do is get the legs hemmed. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And we're good to go. Shoes is the complicated thing. I need to make my own shoe line. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. You know, now, why is it hard with shoes?
Because if you want to find nice shoes, first off, you'll never find heels for kids.
Right.
Good point.
And then if you do find heels, they have like these huge bows on them.
Wow.
Or they're like pink, or they're light up, or they have skates or strawberry shortcake on
or
the
wheelies.
Side. Yeah. Or the wheelies or Velcro. I could go on for days. But like, you just can't find sophisticated shoes for kids. I mean, even these shoes, these are my boots. But look, I mean, how many adult shoes have flowers on them?
That's true.
And I have a flower on my shoe.
That is really, really, really funny.
I know.
You really got something with your own shoe line for little people. That would be amazing.
I mean, not just shoes, but clothes and everything else. That's what I'm thinking.
Agree.
Yeah, are you telling me you can't find, like if you go online, there's no clothes for special people?
Cinderella sells nice heels and things like that, but they're so expensive that it's really hard to buy a couple $100 shoes if you're a little person that's just managing your local store or whatever the case may be. So it would be cool to make affordable heels for little people.
That would be. That would be.
That's true.
Now, I have another question. I saw the Seinfeld, I think, where, like, George, you know, he wanted to be taller than
Danny Woodburn.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, when he put lifts in his shoes.
Oh, that one. Okay, love it. Yeah, no, totally. That's totally not something we usually do. The lift thing, can't say we usually do that.
But okay, good.
More power to him. Kind of has a Napoleon complex.
Yeah, seriously. I didn't think he was actually that small, was he?
George?
Oh, no, Napoleon.
Jason Alexander?
Napoleon.
No, I'm not sure. I just know that's the average term that we all use for that.
I know. I think so. But I don't think he was actually that small in comparison to the rest of the people.
I'm going to have to look up his height now. I'm very curious.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to have. Next time I call, I'm going to have Napoleon's height
and I'll have the single.
Yeah. Now, what about Danny DeVito? He's not considered a small person, right?
Nope.
He's just like right on the cusp almost,
right?
He's a short,
proportionate person.
Right.
Yep.
He's almost there, though. I mean, do you know how tall he is?
No, he's a pretty short person, though.
Yes, very.
I've never met him in person.
Yeah.
I met Jason Alexander, and he's a pretty short person.
Really?
But I don't think he's as short as Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
I love Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he's funny.
You know, I heard on his very first audition that he went in to Taxi. And instead of reading any of the sides, he just went in and said, "This fucking script sucks."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm not doing this for anything." And he slams it on the ground and walks out. And they were like, "We want him."
Really?
That's the guy.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's amazing. Yeah, I can see him as an angry person.
Yes.
I wouldn't recommend anybody to do that in their next audition, but I thought that was a pretty cool story when I heard it, even if it is a myth.
Yeah. Who knows? Everyone goes in and does the same old shit. You know, why not do something different
exactly.
and kind of make yourself stand out?
Yeah.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
I need to go into an average stature audition and walk in on stilts or something and then just be like, ta-da!
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take just a little break, okay? And we'll be back right after this.
He's our new president and moving into the most famous residence in the world. But he just may be bringing a bit more than he can handle.
Obama, you better come help me with my bag, or I will give you some change you can believe in.
It's Barack Obama's White House of Pain, starring Barack Obama.
My God, that woman is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda.
And Marion Robinson as his mother-in-law.
Obama, I don't care if you do have Secret Service protection. I'm going to take my purse and spread my wealth right outside your head.
Oh, that hurts. Oh.
A recession and two wars is nothing compared to what Barack Obama is facing now that Grandma's moved in. Don't miss Barack Obama's White House of Pain.
Only on TBS.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk stage, your real with 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it meant before. So if you got
listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Hello, this is Borat Sagdiev. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool Borat, huh?
Yeah. Did you do that yourself, or is that Sasha Cohen?
No. I wish it was him. No, but we have a good impersonator.
He worked it out.
Yeah, really did it good. I know, because I picture Borat when I hear this. You know?
I've never even seen the movie, so...
You haven't seen the movie, Susie?
You have to see it before the new one comes out.
There's another one coming out?
Well, there's like him being a gay fashion...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Tour model or something.
That sounds more up my alley than the other one.
Yeah. But the other one, you would just die, Susie. It's so
freaking
funny.
I don't know. I really don't think I have much of a sense of humor when it comes to these things.
Really?
Yeah.
You
like, I actually resisted seeing that movie. I was like, it is so stupid, I can't believe it.
But let me tell you why it's really worth seeing, because it really exposes America
in so many ways.
In so many ways. You know, the racism and what else? I mean, prejudice and all that stuff.
Even, like, the prejudice against gay people and the prejudice against black people.
I mean, it's really
incredible what he finds on his journey and how ignorant people can be and how selfish. But it's funny at the same time. I mean, like, it's... He basically is making fun of all these people.
Yeah, it's exactly that, you know. And then he wrestles with this really fat guy who puts his balls in his ass right in his face.
Aww.
It's like I can't forget that part.
Oh, God.
I don't think any guy can. I think every guy wants to just fast forward that part.
I know. But it's just so funny. And you know, I mean, I don't know. I think you should at least give yourself a chance, you know, smoke a nice joint or something, you know, have a box of wine.
Have a box of wine.
Yeah,
I'm on the flat belly diet now. I'm only having a glass of wine per evening.
That's all, huh?
Thank you.
I don't believe that.
Fuck you.
She can't drink just one or two glasses or one or two bottles.
Oh,
she needs a box.
Bottles.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. She definitely needs a box. Do you drink, Tara?
I do. I really am into wine lately.
Yeah, it's so great. Yeah,
I don't know what is it with women and wine. Women really like wine.
I really like beer as well, though.
Do you?
Yeah. I love beer, too.
Yeah. No, I know.
I love vodka. I love gin. I love scotch.
Yeah.
Tequila only in Canada.
In Canada, tequila?
I only drink it with my Canadian friends.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, you should drink it with your Mexican friends.
No, God, no.
No?
No, no, no.
Do you have any?
I do, actually. I do. Shut up. I only trust myself to get that drunk with my Canadian friends.
Yeah.
Those are the only people I get super fucked up with.
Really?
Yes. So can we get a little bit, will you sing us a little bit of one of your Britney impersonation songs?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you feel like it? I mean, we don't put you on the spot, but you are a performer, you know?
I am a performer.
Just like a little bit, a little tiny bit?
Yeah.
All right, I'll sing like the... Okay.
I'll do the backup music. Bear, nair, nair. Oh, baby,
I wish
baby.
We had Britney here. Yeah, I'd start playing it. But okay, you don't have to. But do you have like your whole... you have a whole band of you, or is it like a soundtrack?
No, it's all on a karaoke track.
Yes.
But I do have two amazing backup dancers.
Really?
That will blow your mind. They're little people. They're shorter than me. I'm 4'2". They're 3'10".
Uh-huh.
They can do backflips. They're so incredibly athletic. Yeah,
really?
And they look like... twins. They did in the show that we did in Vegas together, they did Milli Vanilli. They have dreads. They look like
they're
right out of Jamaica, but they're actually out of Africa. And and they're just really extremely awesome. They're trained African dancers, and they pick up dance really fast.
Really? But I think I saw on YouTube one where there were average people with you, right?
Usually, dancers. Sometimes there'll be girls. It just depends on the venue, but they're my staple background dancers. And then if the event is like, oh, we just want our own.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Lingerie dancers behind you, or whatever the case may be.
Right. Yeah.
Then I just go
sketchily
for that.
Clad women in Vegas? No.
No, never.
So you performed in Vegas for a year, huh?
Yeah, I performed there a little less than a year. It was like 8 months.
That's a long time, though.
Yeah,
they must have really liked you.
It was a good time. It was a very good time. I'm very liked at the gay bars.
Really?
Really?
Britney Spears. Everybody loves Britney at the gay bars.
Really?
I never would have thought about that. Yeah, I guess I guess so.
I know they like Liza Minnelli and shit and Barbara Streisand.
Totally. My first job ever in Vegas, we did this event at a place called Piranha's, which is a gay bar in Las Vegas.
Right.
And the promoter advertised it as, this was when Britney Spears was doing all of her little mini tours, mm-hmm. when she had her little freak out and then was coming back and all that jazz. So he advertised it, and because Britney Spears has already been at their club, so it wouldn't have been an unexpected thing. He advertised it as a mini show by Britney Spears.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, and
no.
There was a line, like almost a mile long, going out the door. Gay, straight, everything. I was like, you idiot!
Oh,
I was like, they're going to kill me! And I was like, what is going to happen when I get on stage? I was so paranoid. I was like... His name was Bacon. I was like, Bacon, you and I are going to box because this is going to be horrible. He's like, it's going to be fun. Let's just go. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh, man.
Let's do this. So I did it, and it was just awesome. And everybody got a big chuckle at first and then just had a freaking awesome time.
Really?
So,
people didn't get pissed off?
No. And I was so paranoid about it. I thought I was going to have my head served to me on a platter. And it was like such a positive experience, and everybody was just dancing and having a good time. And...
yeah.
It was very fortunate,
but that's really good. That's such a relief.
Yeah, I was really scared.
Seriously, because like people, when they get in crowds, you never know how they're going to react.
I guess if you're paying $30-$40 for a ticket, I mean, and you're not seeing the person that you think you're going to be seeing, mm-hmm. it's not a good time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. I know. Now, let's get to sex a little bit. Now,
I've been waiting for that.
Are you pretty sexually active and stuff? I guess when you have a boyfriend, right?
I am. He's my... live-in boyfriend, so...
Oh, a live-in boyfriend. Okay, so you get booty all the time. Wow. So,
when did you lose your virginity, he wants to know.
I do?
Yes.
Okay.
That's always his next question.
I was late.
I never asked that.
I was a late bloomer. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 19.
Wow.
I was out of high school.
Wow. But you were messing around and stuff, right? All the time?
A little bit.
A little bit.
She's like, my parents are listening. Keep it clean.
Yeah. You never know who is listening.
Oh,
yeah.
Trust me, I know.
Well, when you come to this show, you say everything and anything. And, so we won't ask you personally, but... we'll ask you personally. When you've had sex with an average man, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it too big for you? No, I mean,
honestly,
we won't ask you
like
this. I guess it depends who it is.
I
right?
know this is like this is quite an interesting conversation.
Okay.
I've honestly been with both average and little, and it just depends on the person's.
Right,
I've been with average size people that are smaller than little people that I've been with.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
And
so I should start going for the little people.
Yes, you should. You know?
I mean, the torso is the same.
Right.
It's just the arms and the legs that are shorter.
Okay. Oh. Okay. So it's a misconception. Okay.
It is definite. But then a lot of people are like, hey, I want to see your package to the little people. And that's not cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they think everything's little or whatever. But it's honestly.
But women say the same thing
to
a lot of like black men because they're just like assuming that they're going to have like this massive monster
right,
in their pants.
Right.
Totally.
And many don't, right? Yeah.
Actually, all the ones that I've come across are massive monsters.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Massive monsters.
Massive monsters.
That's what I'm going to start calling them. That's a massive monster.
Don't point that thing at me.
Yeah. You know what? I think, the fact that you can generalize, let's say, about black men like this.
I also generalized about skinny men the other day.
I said
skinny men have huge dicks for the most part.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's because their bodies are so tiny that it just makes their package
look so big. You didn't say skinny. You said short.
Well, skinny and short. Mm. Skinny, shorter.
Shorter. Okay, that's what you said.
Shorter men than me and skinny men always seem to have very large packages.
Oh, wow.
And I've sampled the population. The standard variation is...
how about we make you feel uncomfortable? How hairy do you like your packages?
my package? Or
a woman. Your female packages.
Oh, Susie knows that. I like it pretty hairy. Not a bush, but I like hair.
He likes a mature muff.
Yes, I like hair there.
Braidable.
Yes. Not braidable, but yeah. I mean, look, I appreciate a shaved one too, you know. I mean, every once in a while it's nice. But to me, what turns me on the most is a little beard around, you know, around the lips.
Sam, this was going to be one of the crafts I meant to tell you on Monday night's craft night.
Yeah.
Because remember the very first week I did the show, how I had a heart shaved into the back of my head?
Yes, I remember that.
And we had these little parties with my bicycle friends, and we called them share cut parties. And so basically we get drunk and like shave like different shapes and pictures into each other's heads. So we've kind of grown old and weary of this. Like everyone has a shaved head with some unique design. Mm-hmm. But so my brilliant idea, because Franz had his beard clippers with him, I was like, why don't we do vagina share cuts? I was like, that'll be brilliant. And so all the girls in the room were just like, Susie, you've officially lost it. But I think it would be fun to have some kind of like fun little shape drawn in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've heard about that in Cosmo. People like shaving it in the
initials
shape of
a heart.
And then dyeing it red or something for Valentine's Day.
I suppose.
That's a good one. Maybe I'll try that.
Surprise,
this year.
Surprise, honey.
I would think it's something a porn chick does. I don't know. You think normal people do that?
I think it might be sexy if you've never done something like that and it's like a surprise for your man. Yeah.
I could just imagine, though, like I would go to like do that and I would like get the shape perfectly and then I would dye it and like then I would have like some allergic reaction. It would be like, nah. That would just be my kind of luck. I don't know. But never mind.
That would not be good.
No.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know. I mean, since you're here the first time, I won't ask you if you shaved or not, but you asked me, so I'm asking you.
I vary.
Vary.
I'm a vary
so
girl.
So it depends
on the season.
Depends on the season. Okay. Depends on the weather. You know what I mean? If it's cold, why not have a little extra? Yeah. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Summertime, you can't have any extra.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Have you ever made it with a girl at all?
No, I've kissed a few girls, if that's what you mean, but I've never done anything beyond that.
Yeah. Why did you kiss girls?
I did one just for pure laughs. I was on stage.
Oh, okay.
And it was a Britney like moment. It was like a Britney moment.
Nothing romantic or anything, right?
One of them was really nice. Actually, I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret.
Okay.
My very first kiss ever, as in tongue, was a girl.
Wow. Oh. Now, I'm turned on by that. And that was at what age? 18?
You don't want to know the age. No, not 18.
No, much younger.
Like 10.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
French kissing at 10?
Yeah, but that was my first kiss ever, like real kiss.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I mean, at that age, it's easier to do with a girl than with a guy. I mean,
and we were best friends. Yeah. And
so you were just practicing. They were playing around.
Yeah.
It's not anything
serious. We were
totally
innocent.
Yeah, that doesn't count. 10 years old. Everybody does it. 10.
So did you make out with a guy at 10?
No.
Is that what you...
Exactly, Sam. What are you trying to say?
Well, everybody
I'm talking
does
about
it.
Girls. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, no, but I played doctor when I was 4 or 5 years old. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was. I really was.
He's a sick man.
I'm a sick, sick man.
How many times have you made out with a man?
Never.
He's very close-minded about these things. He's very square.
No, what do you mean close-minded? Most guys do not do it with guys, okay? Give me a break. I would. I have a hard time thinking of doing it with a girl and another guy in the room. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to be in the vicinity of a naked penis, okay?
You
doesn't
know,
interest me.
You
but
should go to Amsterdam and watch one of their live shows.
I've been to Amsterdam, never saw the shows. Why? Did you...
You can watch a live sex show.
Right.
In Amsterdam. And it's pretty crazy. People get busy on the seats beside you. And
ew.
It's kind of
really?
Interesting environment. Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing I never went in there.
Do they like... Are there like sheets that you can like change? Like on
no, it's like a movie theater.
So
that's
it's all
the crazy
seasoned?
Thing. Yeah.
Oh.
You just want to leave right when you get in.
Yeah.
I would bring like my own seat cover.
Yeah, well, I didn't... We honestly had no idea what we were going to get ourselves into when we got there. So.
I don't see why anybody would spend the money on that for the same amount you can get a real girl there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a movie theater and you go and you watch people have sex?
It's this amazing... It's actually pretty artistic and it's pretty fun. It's like a rotating stage and there's 4 or 5 different scenes. And you'll see like a man having sex with a woman and then the stage will rotate and then a woman is like pulling out like a whole... like yards and yards of yarn from her hoo-ha.
Oh!
And then you'll see, like, it'll rotate, and then it'll be like a man with two women, and then it'll rotate, and it'll be like three women together, that kind of thing. So it's like a variation of shows.
That does sound nice. It's got a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah, a life
porn film. A little
bit of something
for everyone.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, we have Tara Jolet in the studio.
Thank you.
Right? Yes. Britney Spears impersonator, who's also happens to be a little person.
Yep.
And but very beautiful, nevertheless.
A mini Britney.
Yes, definitely. And so where do you have a website or anything people
can go
to?
The easiest thing to remember is minibritneyspears.com.
Minibritneyspears.com.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Sounds good
fabulous.
To me. And Britney spelled kind of funny, right? It's B-R-I...
T-N-E-Y.
T-N-E-Y, that's right. Mm-hmm. There's no two T's.
Exactly.
Sometimes Britney's with two T's, yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the
Y'all
best,
have
you
been
know.
Extreme and awesome.
And you're very, very inspiring, I got to tell you.
Thank you, I really appreciate that.
You know, if anybody ever like gets depressed because of anything, you know, just think, you know, it could have been a lot harder for you, but you came through, you know, and I really, really salute you for that, you know.
I appreciate that.
And it's going to make you and the world a better place, I think.
And when should we look for this reality show to come out? The pilot?
I will definitely keep y'all informed.
Please do, please do.
I'll
really
keep you informed with the height of Napoleon, the single, and the reality.
Fabulous.
The height of Napoleon. I like that
I'm
gonna name.
I'm going to call back with the height of Napoleon.
That's awesome. What an appropriate name.
Tara, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so very much for
absolutely.
Having me.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. We're out of time, so we'll see you right here tomorrow.